You've heard me talk about my dog Tucker a lot on this podcast, and it's hard to imagine our family now without the joy that this little field spaniel has brought to our daily lives. That's when we were approached about advertising Superfood Complete on the show, and I said, well, yes, of course. Actress Katherine Heigl has helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, and she is seeing more and more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Dogs across America, just like my dog Tucker, are trying Superfood Complete and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to BadlandsRanch.com/Zabe and order right now to get up to 50% off your regularly priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com. That's BadlandsRanch.com/Zabe today. You know, guys, when you get to be our age, finding the motivation to get back in shape can be hard. It's just plain tough to find a routine and to stick with it. Good news. FitBod is a fitness app that is anything but routine. It tailors your workouts to fit your life, your goals, your gear, and even your schedule, so you can avoid burnout. And FitBod helps keep up your momentum by mixing in different exercises, reps, supersets, and circuits. Best yet, FitBod has over 1,000 demonstration videos, so you can learn the right way to do each exercise. It's time to ditch the boring routines and kickstart your fitness journey. Add FitBod to your workout essentials. Join today to get your personalized workout plan. Get 25% off your subscription or try the app for free at FitBod.me/Zabe. That's FitBod.me/Zabe. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.
This is where the DJ talks. Don't say anything.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Finally got my open back. Now I can sing at my heart's content. Full volume. Look up, look up, look up, look up, look up, look up, nailed it.
Good day, welcome to
coming to us from parts unknown in the great wild west in the camper with Roxy and the doggos, Paul Churchian.
My parts unknown are in Pueblo, Colorado. No doggos. Dogs are back home. Yeah.
Wow. So if this camper's a rockin', don't come knocking. The dogs are left at home.
Yes.
Sexy fun time with me, Roxy.
Not that I would let the dogs come between me and right. Sexy fun time with Roxy, but yes.
Just less stuff to worry about.
Oh, okay.
So if I may charge, the camper was expressly because of the dogs. You bought this thing because you were tired of checking your dogs into hotels. If you're going to leave the dogs at home, then you might as well get rid of the camper and stay in hotels and fly to exotic places.
Yes, driving 1,000 miles to Pueblo, Colorado, my current location. But the whole premise was a little bit off because what we did not know is you can't take dogs into national parks. So if you want to go to some of the greatest places in America, they don't let dogs in. And also, man, it's kind of a hassle. You know, that part I could have known and should have taken into greater account. But fortunately for this trip, I got a buddy staying at my house, watching the dogs.
Nice.
And everything's great.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
Now,
a dependable.
If he really likes the dogs.
A dependable buddy. And if he really likes the dogs, he'll adopt said dogs.
That's right.
And you'll be out of the dog business. Then you could get out of the trailer business, the camper business, and you could, in theory, get out of the Titan truck business or the Tundra, right?
Tundra, that's right.
But you love the Tundra so much, I doubt you're ever getting out of the truck business.
I don't think I am. Yeah. I think, you know, I never would have believed it. And you told me.
I told you.
You were right all along. The truck thing, man, once it gets its tendrils into you, man, you're kind of, you know, it's hard to go back. I like being a truck guy.
Suburban soft-handed charge said to me plaintively, but what do I have to put in the bed of the truck? And I said, it doesn't matter. Beer cans, empty beer cans would be fine. You like the cabin of the truck so well, the technology,
yes.
The fact you are floating on this power cloud of V8 goodness that is smooth and quiet. You will fall in love. And sure enough, I was right. And you did.
You were right. I was wrong.
Okay. Yeah. Well, the saltiest charge ever. Cut one on today's rundown. This tweet, did you know, according to one listener, you trended briefly with the saltiness of your cousin's tweet?
No, I did not.
Did you see the screen grab, which does not look like it is a, does not to me look like it's a Photoshop. It says trending, politics, Mr. Her, that's the testimony on Capitol Hill, involving the prosecutor and the president and his documents. Daryl Strawberry.
As it turns out, he had been lying all along about all the documents, and that he turned out he had documents everywhere.
Totally. Totally. a complete scandal that they're pressing Trump to the wall on this for far less, and they're going to let Biden skate because the prosecutor's like, yeah, he's a nice old man whose memory is going. Let him go. Our fucking republic is absolutely upside down. Daryl Strawberry's trending, who had a heart attack. And may he,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, may he recover.
Oh, boy.
And then third on the list is charge. Now, unless there's another charge, I don't know who that would be.
I don't, you know, Zabe, as a longtime charge, I don't think there's another charge out there. And based on the responses I've had to my tweets, overwhelmingly against me, by the way.
Oh, they're slaughtering you.
Oh, God.
928 comments, 1,100 likes, and 241 retweets. Here is the tweet from Charge. Quote, this, by the way, this after the Vikings have signed Sam Darnold, which I'll get to in a second. This is your new starting QB, Vikings fans. You don't pay $10 million to a backup. Well, you shouldn't anyway. P.S., Jameis Winston got $7 million in Cleveland to make the all sexual assault QB room with him. I mean, this is a bad look for the league that these two guys are together. Funny how inexpensive the QB position can be when you sign a player nobody else would dare put under center. I've been told 1,000 times wins are a quarterback stat. I've actually heard people say QB wins aren't a real stat. So here you go, 56 career starts, 21 wins for Darnold. We're back to the days of starting washed-up journeyman retreads, and that's how we like it in Minnesota. Sleep easy, Viking fans. You got the quarterback you wanted and deserved. Salty! Saltine cracker! I assume you stand by every word in that tweet, despite people saying, well, look at what Atlanta paid Kirk. We would never pay that. That's insane.
I'm standing by. I'm not backing down. I'm not backing down. I don't want Sam Darnold. I'm not interested in a guy who's thrown more interceptions than touchdowns. I'm not interested in a guy who's on his fourth team in 6 years.
He sucks.
No, thank you. If
he
you are functional
sucks.
At quarterback, you will never leave an organization. He's totally non-functional. And at least for the time being, he's our starting quarterback. Now, everybody's like, "Oh, apparently you haven't heard of the draft, George. We're gonna go draft a quarterback." Well, great. Okay, Vikings are sitting at pick 11. There's three sure, what feel like relatively sure thing quarterbacks. There are no sure things, but you know the guys that feel like they have the best chance. There's three of those. Then there's a no man's land, and then there's the Vikings pick. There's not an obvious solution, and also our general manager has made one good draft pick out of the however many he's had, like 14 draft picks he's had. One guy, he's batting like 170 on maybe lower. I don't do the math. What's one divided by 12? About right. I don't know. We have point, is it 080 or something like that? I mean, it's so bad, Zabe. I can't just go. The Viking fan base delusional. They're like, "Well, we're just going to go draft the next franchise quarterback." Like that's easy to do, and people just do that all the time from any position in the draft. It is just absurd.
So where are the Vikings?
The Vikings fans are.
I know. Remind me of where the Vikings are picking naturally right now.
11.
You're not going to get anyone really sexy there. All three of the big three are going to be gone easily, which is Caleb Williams, Drake May, and the kid from LSU, Jaden Daniels.
Daniels. Yep.
You might get a J.J. McCarthy.
Right, but he's
you
become
might
very steamy.
Get a Bo Nix.
Oh, don't want him. Awful.
Right. You might get a – who else is in the running?
Michael Penix.
Yeah, Michael Penix.
Yeah, who disintegrated against Michigan – and is basically non-functional outside of the pocket. So it's all bad right now. And I don't understand how there are thousands and thousands of Viking fans that are
happy,
just deliriously happy. Yeah. You know, they're throwing parades that Kirk's out of town and that this team gets to reboot its quarterback position with the unknown and a general manager who has an abysmal track record during the draft.
Right. Do you know what the arch enemy of good is and will always be?
Well, they say great.
Perfect. Perfect is like the Godzilla to good's Mothra. So yeah. They're rivals in life and as a concept. People always mistake don't look down your nose at good just because you lust for perfect. Perfect is most of the time in life, an accident, right? It's a divine stroke of luck that you get a situation that's perfect or a person that's perfect or whatever. You know, you have to strive for good. Kirk was just good. And so therefore, the fan base frustrated that the rest of the team and the GM couldn't put enough around Kirk to win more is taking it out on Kirk. Because right. God forbid you be honest and take some self-accountability to say, well, they didn't put a team around them. Or they had a team and the offensive line disintegrated due to injury. Or any number of excuses. You probably know what they are.
I'm familiar, yes.
Yes.
Every sports fan knows all about excuse making. We all do it.
Right. Like, you have to, if you're a Viking fan like you are, that has a sober take on this and is not just doing the Ewok dance at the end of Star Wars in celebration of Kirk being gone, you have to go, wow, why did Atlanta pay so much for a 36-year-old quarterback with one playoff win coming off a torn Achilles? Why? Because they've lived shit quarterbacking for the last several years, and it became so painful. Knowing they had Drake London, Kyle Pitts, who they might throw to now, with Bijan Robinson, and they had dog shit quarterbacks, they said, we're going to happily overpay for competence, for good, and they're going to get good out of Kirk. Kirk is going to thrive in Atlanta, and then it'll be interesting what the Kirk haters who are flooding your timeline say then. Because I'm betting on Kirk being screamingly good down there this year.
He's playing, he's coming off his best season ever. And now I want to make this clear. The deal he got was remarkable.
It was big.
It was way bigger than anybody expected.
And you would not have signed off on paying him that much, right?
No, I wouldn't have. And that's, people don't understand that. Maybe I need to just come out and say that on Twitter expressly, because they all assume that that's not the case. But no, it was too much to pay, and it was too long of a commitment. So no, I wouldn't have paid it. And so I don't have a problem that they let him go. But that doesn't mean
you don't have a problem with letting him go. But to celebrate it is moronic, because you now see the long walk into the woods your team is going to embark on yet again. Correct. And you've been walking in those woods, starving, trying to drink water out of leaves and pluck berries that won't kill you just to survive, looking for a quarterback, doing all the right quarterback calls. Quarterback.
I've been wiping my ass with poison ivy for 30 years.
Yes. And you're right. And you're right. Finding that guy is exceptionally hard. So I look back only as far as the 2022 quarterback class. Here they are in order: Kenny Pickett, Desmond Ridder, Malik Willis. You're 1, 2, 3. With Bailey Zappi, Sam Howell, Chris Olodikun. I'm not sure he's still in the league.
No, I don't think so.
Skylar Thompson, and then the happy accident. Like I said, Brock Purdy,
yeah.
Mr. Brock Irrelevant. Purdy. That draft class is dead on arrival.
And by the way,
dead on arrival.
Right. And so if you needed a quarterback going into that draft class, like the Steelers did and the Falcons did, and the Tennessee Titans thought they did, less the Titans, because they waited to get their guy. But Steelers launched a mid-first round pick on a terrible quarterback in Kenny Pickett. And then Desmond Ridder, the Falcons, desperate at quarterback. They didn't have a succession plan. Matt Ryan's a million years old. Did they have a succession plan in place? No. And so they had to get, they went desperate. They took Desmond Ridder out of a terrible draft class and then started him. Predictably, he failed. And then they do exactly what you described earlier, the big, massive overpay to just get competence, above average. Kirk's better than competent, but yes, that's exact. And that could be coming in this draft class. My draft Nick friends tell me this coming year looks bleak at quarterback with lots of time.
Even with the names, even with the sizzle. Your buddy thinks it could utterly fail.
It could be a bad draft class. Yes.
Could it be as bad as, say, the 2021 class?
Almost can't be. But
Trevor Lawrence is the only guy at 1-1 that's a keeper. Zach Wilson cannot be given away. Trey Lance was given away for basically nothing. And they were 1-1-1, 1-2. And 1-3 with an asterisk on Lance because he was a move up to 1/3. Disaster.
An expensive one at that.
Justin Fields at 11 cannot be given away. Mac Jones at 15, despised disaster. And also given away for a sixth rounder. Kyle Trask with the 64th overall pick, end of the second round. Is like it's like Bigfoot, more rumor Kyle Trask than reality,
right?
And then you're talking Kellen Mond, Davis Mills, Ian Book, Sam Ellinger, all of which can't play. And no, that was a sect. Look at the assets: 1-1, 1-2, 1-3, with a move up to 1-3, and then Fields and Jones, and it's a disaster.
So we're talking two of the last 3 years. Like 90% of the quarterbacks taken, disaster grade.
You do not want to start them. Or if they start, you spend an inordinate amount of time bitching to your buddies who are fans about the guy. Like Kenny Pickett. I guarantee most Steeler fans just trade hours and hours of bitching and griping about how inadequate Kenny Pickett is. But here's what's crazy. 1 year prior to that, 2020 was a fucking motherload. Burrow 1-1, Tua 1-5, Herbert 1-6, Jordan Love 26th overall, Jalen Hurts second round. 5 for 5. So you don't know. Like, what's crazy is Every year, these scouts and teams pour inordinate amount of resources into scouting and measuring and to reviewing the film. And they don't know either. Nobody knows. Nobody knows. Isn't it funny?
Isn't it funny how bad they can be when
it's hilarious.
An organization with highly compensated teams of scouts.
Yes!
Who break down every nuance of every meaningful player. And they can still do what the Vikings did and miss on virtually every pick for two straight years. It's amazing. Sometimes you think you could take a monkey with a copy of Athlons and a dartboard and do better than these teams do with their teams of scouts. It's amazing.
Which is why I advocate the sort of the brute force attack approach. Sort of like in internet terms, you know, a denial of service
brute force attack.
Keep throwing resources at it. If I owned an NFL team, I'd draft quarterback every year until I had the guy that was unmistakably the guy. And I wouldn't blink and I wouldn't apologize. And if the quarterbacks I drafted bitched about it, I'd say, I'm sorry, too fucking bad.
Exactly.
Get in there and compete. You're like every other player on this team, a running back, a linebacker, a wide receiver, fuck you. But these teams are scared of doing that because of agents and, most importantly, the media. They're afraid of the media going, what are the so-and-sos doing at quarterback? And my answer would be, as owner, I'm fixing the problem by brute force every year. We take one until we got a Burrow or a Herbert or somebody we know is really good.
Ed, Zabe, I've been saying exactly that for over a decade. Until you got your guy, you keep drafting until you got him. And by the way, if you're not sure, you don't let that look at what Chicago with Justin Fields, right? So by all reports, they can't get anything for Justin Fields right now.
Well,
right?
They could get like a fifth, I bet.
Right. Yeah.
Which is basically nothing.
Why wouldn't you just keep him and just be like, hey, dude, man up like every other position. Go battle. If you don't like it, too bad. You're here. You're going to fight for your job. You're going to do the best you can. And if we call on you to play, then you go play. Whatever.
Right. The reason because these quarterbacks are anointed as saviors. They're not considered prospects, which is really all they are. So the agents and the media anointed Fields as the savior. Ooh, look at him. He's going to be great. And then he shows a glimpse, and the media runs off with it. See, the Bears finally have their guy. And so some team is going to have to really push back on this narrative of the anointed ones and instead say, without any flinching, these are prospects. And they'll have to stand up to Caleb Williams threatening to hold out or threatening to not want to play for the Bears or his dad, you know, creating shit. It'll be a hard thing to break, but as soon as teams do that, the better, because it's such a hard position. You can't win anymore in the NFL, Charge, as you know, with a good running game and a strong defense like you once could in the early 90s when the likes of Jeff Hostetler was going to Super Bowls and winning them, or Trent Dilfer, right? Like there's no path anymore if you don't have a really good QB1. And it's put more stress in the position than ever. Real quick on Darnold. So when I saw that your Vikings with the Commanders and Broncos were all in on Sam Darnold conversations, a veritable feeding frenzy, I go, wait a minute. This I looked it up. I go, this guy's upside down in touchdowns to INTs the last 4 years. He's a sub 60% passer, which is shit in the modern NFL. He's 10-20 over that time and sees ghosts in coverage. For those that saw the game where he was mic'd up and sat on the sideline, said, I'm seeing ghosts out there. And there's a bidding war. Why? Because he beat out Trey Lance in August and threw 46 passes as Purdy's backup playing one game. Like, nobody has gone through a better rehab stint in his image than just Sam Darnold being on a good team and being under the vaunted Kyle Shanahan. Oh, he's gotten better because of Shanahan. I'm calling bullshit on that. I fear for the worst for you guys.
I know. Me too. We are entering a long, slow death spiral right now. Now
Well, the next thing will be Quezzy will get whacked at some point, when this doesn't work. And then you're going to have to whack O'Connell, which is too bad. I like the guy.
He's good. He's good.
And you'll want the cycle will start again, but we'll see. But hey, you got Aaron Jones, which is what we were talking about quite a bit on the morning show on the game. And he seems salty about how it went down.
Yeah, he should feel salty. I think he kind of got done dirty, right? He signed the big deal 2 years ago. Then they asked him to restructure last year, which he did, took a discount. And then they come back to him again. We need you to take another discount if it's not too much trouble. And you know, and finally you broke a good guy by all accounts, by the way, like great guy. Everybody loves him. And you know, then you eventually broke him and got him into a spot where he's like, you know what, you know, I have some dignity. I'm out. Yeah. And the Vikings side gave him just a little bit more, not even a lot, just a little bit more than what the Packers were offering. But at that point, I think he wanted to go to a rival. I think he was angry enough.
Yeah.
I think he was ready to move.
I think if you compare best to best, full peak health and vibrancy, Josh Jacobs is a better all around back than Aaron Jones.
If you factor in availability, for
yes.
Sure.
Yes, I mean, just you know, best just... best to best. Like when I started watching Josh Jacob highlights, many of which I hadn't seen because I don't pay enough attention to the Raiders. I'm like, oh, fuck, this guy's sweet.
Yeah. Oh, well, see, where Jones is better is as a receiver and as a pass blocker. I mean, those things are and those things count.
Okay.
But for workhorse back use, Jacobs is great and he's available. You know, it's just the questionable every week with Aaron Jones.
Yeah.
I'm sure organizationally they were tired of that.
Yeah, Jacobs missed four games of the quad last year, but prior to that, he'd only missed three games in his
That's
first
right.
4 years. They turned the clock back by about 3 years. They saved some money against the cap. My only thing is this. The cap, to me, it's real, but it's not God. And so sometimes if I was a team, I would say, you know what? We're spending more on this guy than we should or we could. But it's a worthwhile splurge. I would have really lobbied hard if I was in that Packer room and say, look, just keep Jones at 12 this year. He sunsets after this season. We can find the money for it this year. Are we operating at peak efficiency? No. But fuck, we'd then have him and Jacobs. That's great.
That'd have been
like,
fun.
I would say let's splurge on that. It's kind of it's akin to you know, your wife who's canceling all these Netflix and Hulu accounts, and she's also going on expensive Disney vacations every 4 months. You know, you're like, okay, I get it. It's kind of a waste to have Hulu. We don't really watch it. But what are we really doing here? Like when they gave Rodgers that 3-year deal when he was a free agent, it was insane. It was 3 for $150.
Yeah.
And I at the time said, Charge, well, all right, I guess he's playing 3 more years. And then he played 1 more year, went into a fucking yurt, cut off his phone, and demanded a trade like a dick and lied about it. And that's where I said, you know, I didn't know what he was like inside because I wasn't talking to him. But the Packers should have known that. Gutekunst should have known that. He should have said, this guy's flaky. If I give him a 3-year $150 million, he's not going to fucking play for 3 years. He's going to fuck us. He wants his money, and then he's going to demand a trade, right? Like, that's what I think they should have known. And if they should have known that, they should have never given him that much money because they had a huge salary cap bill in the wake of it. Granted, they only paid 1 year at 50 cash for Rodgers, but they still have a lot of burn off in terms of dead cap. So they were willing to splurge on that, and they can't find $6 million to splurge on Jones. That's a little bit dicey.
I think your whole the whole precept here is a little off. When they inked 3 years, 150, I think everybody at the table thought that was such an absurdly good deal, and it was so much money that Rodgers was going to play that. I don't think anybody sitting at that table was thinking, well, you know, he'll bow out of that in a year. That's great money even today.
Well,
right?
Not that he would retire. He would demand a trade. which is what he did. See, the first mission is get the bag. And these players know that, and the agents know that. So he got the bag by convincing the Packers he was going to be a happy Packer for three more years. Was he? No.
Well, no. You made it about 3 months.
Yeah. So he quickly was like, fuck this Hickwater town. I'm Mr. Global. I've got friends like Aubrey Marcus, and I go on these ayahuasca retreats, and I hang out with Hollywood celebrities. The fuck am I doing in Green Bay? I got to go somewhere bigger, somewhere new where they're going to really love me because I don't feel the love anymore. So he bounced after a year. And yes, cash-wise, they didn't have to pay the back end of that $150. But cap-wise, oh, fuck. They were stung by it. Now, thankfully, the cap went up and they found money and they're spending. But here's the net-net on all these free agents, Charge, and I would like your thoughts on this. We as fans way overestimate how many wins any of these free agents are really going to give us. Your thoughts?
100% true. Two out of three don't pan out at all. It's, you know, mostly free agency. It feels good. You're addressing a problem you've got, you know, and with a hypothetical solution to that problem. But just the reality, if you go back and just look at the numbers, two-thirds do not give you what you think you're going to get and end up being bad deals. At the end of the day, your best players are your own players, the players you know, the players that you know if they work in your scheme. There's nothing better than building your own players from within, building around them, than bringing in an outsider with you don't know how much baggage, but you do know that the team that had him wasn't willing to pay him, and you are. And that's a bad indicator, yet we all do it and we all get excited about it.
Even the bought players, the purchase players who do work out, if you really were to drill down and go, well, how many games did he actually help us win? You'll probably find out that, yes, he was good, but we lost this game because we got a holding penalty on second and goal at the 2 in the fourth quarter. That was the game right there, right? Like, he was good as a safety for us or as a linebacker, but how many games did he really win? And so we overrate these free agent signings, even the ones that work out in a positive way. But it's fun. It makes the league sexy. Any other thoughts on some of the – all right, from a fantasy standpoint, because that's your wheelhouse, Guillotine Leagues, guillotineleagues.com. Never too early to start thinking about your leagues for next year. Barkley, Eagles, how do you think he'll be?
You know, really interesting that there was a bidding war on Saquon Barkley. You know, all the injury problems. I mean, he has a special skill set as a receiver. He used to be a phenomenally dynamic running back, but that was years ago. That was his rookie year. And just the injuries have sapped a lot of that special running talent out of him.
Right.
So in totality, kind of shocked that the running backs as a position did as well as they did, including one of the maybe the biggest fantasy impact. Derrick Henry in a perfect landing spot in Baltimore, where Gus Edwards is gone. He went to LA, and then J.K. Dobbins coming off an ACL, then a torn Achilles. He might be done for a career. They have a young kid named Keaton Mitchell who got a little bit of playing time last year before he ended up getting hurt. But Henry rolls in to a good offensive line where defenses have to respect Lamar Jackson as a passer and a runner. And oh man, I love that landing spot for him. And I thought I was ready to just wash my hands of Derrick Henry. Just like, okay, the guy's basically done. He needs gigantic holes to run through. He's not the same tackle breaking force he used to be.
Right.
But this landing spot is so good. I think even on diminished talent, he can be really good this year.
All right. Rat-a-tat-tat style. Tony Pollard to the Titans, 3 years, 24 mil.
Bummed out because I love Tajay Spears, the kid they already had, and I wanted him to get most of the work. Now it's a split backfield, and I don't like it.
Austin Eckler to the Commanders, 2 years, 11 mil.
I'm not a believer in Brian Robinson, but it looks like he'll remain the lead back. Austin Eckler is going to be a better version of Antonio Gibson as a pass-catching specialist and occasional runner.
DeAndre Swift, 3 years, 24 mil from the Bears.
Terrible signing at that money. We just saw that he was not able to power the Eagles with the offensive line they've got. He could not power that team as a good workhorse running back that they tried. I'm shocked he got that much money.
Devin Singletary, 3 years, $16 million to the Giants.
Nice signing here because it's a modest signing and a good all-around player, as we saw with Houston, that used him a lot in the second half of the season in particular. Nice signing at a good price.
Gus Edwards, you mentioned the Chargers, 2 years, $6.5 million.
Yeah, it's so little money. Why not? But Gus, injuries they sapped a lot of the power and the tackle breaking out of his career, unfortunately.
Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today. You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Summer concert season is almost upon us, and if you're heading out to a country show, it'll be all about the boots. With seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more, Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience quite like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's tecovas.com. They offer free shipping on all boots as well as free returns and exchanges, and they ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. Zach Moss signs with the Bengals, 2 years, $8 million. Then the Bengals turn around and trade Joe Mixon to the Texans.
So fascinating for both sides of this. First, Zach Moss right now in a command spot. You want a perfect landing spot. If they don't draft anybody notable, it's a bad running back draft coming up. He turns into like third round pick at running back, fourth round. I mean, you are the starting running back and probably better than Joe Mixon right now with what Mixon's got left in the tank for one of the best offenses in the NFL. So it's a great move for Zach Moss. And as for Mixon, I just think the dude's washed. And I love Houston. Houston's my adopted favorite team outside of the Vikings. And right. I just think there's nothing left, and I don't understand why Houston made that move.
Yeah. And then Antonio Gibson to the Patriots, 3 years, $11 million. He was a disappointment and a fumbler, a big time fumbler for Washington while he was there. Still available, J.K. Dobbins, who has a Carfax injury report longer than your arm, right? For the Ravens, he's a free agent. A.J. Yep. Dillon, who's kind of a fullback more than he is a tailback, you can have him. Right. A nice guy, yep. You can have him. Deontay Foreman, your thoughts on him?
Well, he was good as a backup running back. He was nice as a fill-in guy when the Bears were short runners. He looked pretty good. And the only really thing to know about Deontay Foreman is he is the best, most productive running back who's ever come off Achilles.
Oh, really?
And that says a lot. He's the high watermark for guys, for running backs coming off Achilles. And that's not saying much.
And then there's the guy Charge raved about 1 August in fantasy for the Kansas City Chiefs, Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
I'm stunned that his career has been so forgettable. He was such a dynamic force in college, and he dropped into the perfect spot with the Chiefs, and the Chiefs spent that first rounder on him. I mean, it really should, it should have been a can't fail scenario, but that's all he really did was fail. You know, the size was a problem for sure. Couldn't use him at the goal line, but even then, even outside of those situations, the productivity was just never there. And yeah, it's just shockingly pedestrian for him, and never lived up to the hype. And I was certainly wrong, and it wasn't just me. So were the Chiefs.
Wideouts, big money for T. Higgins, who got franchised. He still wants a full-time deal. 1 year, $21 million is the number for the Bengals, the cheapest team in the league. Michael Pittman Jr., 3 years, $70 million. That's the highest top-line number, even though we know these contracts are fake on the top end with the Colts. Mike Evans re-signed early, 2 years, $41 million with Tampa Bay. Gabe Davis goes to the Jaguars, 3 years for $39 million. Darnell Mooney goes to the Falcons, 3 years for $39 million. Kendrick Bourne gets a nice chunk from the Patriots, 3 years for $19 million. Otherwise, there's a real bag of loose ends out there. Marquise Brown, Calvin Ridley, Odell Beckham Jr., Tyler Boyd, Curtis Samuel, DJ Chark, Michael Thomas, and others.
Chark was trending before Chark. I mean, that's pretty impressive. I mean, he's not trending. I'm trending. He's not trending. The guy that's notable there is, I think, is Calvin Ridley. Now, you remember he lost that year due to gambling.
Yes.
Then goes to the Jaguars. Jaguars traded for him while he was during his suspension.
And now they spend money on Gabe Davis. So what does that mean for Ridley?
He's probably out. And, you know, they gave up good equity, like a second round pick, to go get Calvin Ridley. He played the one season. Get this. It's a little fantasy thing, but you'll understand how it applies to regular football as well. He had five games in which he was really good. And in those five games, he averaged like wide receiver two in those weeks. His other 12 games, he was wide receiver 56 in fantasy football in those weeks, giving you absolutely nothing. And so I'm sure the Jaguars are looking at that as well, going, okay, we got a guy who 12 games out of 17 gave us nothing. We don't need to spend money on him.
Yeah. Well, I generally like Shad Khan. I think he's a pretty sharp guy, and I kind of generally like what they're doing. But, man, that's some dumb shit. Like, they're doing some dumb moves down there. And one thing that tells you how far Jacksonville still has to go to tighten up their operations, did you see that the guy who stole $22 million from the team has been sentenced to prison now for 6.5 years. Amit Patel, who was a Jags employee, he stole $22 million from the team as one of, like, their accountants.
Yes, and he's believed to be the all-time biggest loser in the history of fantasy sports. Nobody's lost more money than this guy, is what I hear in the industry.
Really?
That he set the bar. History of fantasy sports, nobody has lost more than he has. He was terrible at it. He was spent most of that money playing daily fantasy.
And getting his ass
awful.
Kicked.
And getting his ass kicked every week. But what did he care?
By the math geniuses and the algorithm guys with their computer programs, just the sharks. But, okay, so here's the thing. How do you let a guy steal $22 million? How? Like, there's no fucking red flags that come up. Like, where's the accounting department to go, hello, Amit, the fuck is that money? Like, you shouldn't get even to $1 million before somebody goes, hold on a second, something's not adding
off.
Up.
Right. You know, this is not a rounding error anymore. So, you know, your football operations work two ways with these big numbers. And a lot of fans, there might be listeners going, well, you know, these players make $20 million, blah, blah, blah. But here's the thing. Inside the operation of the team are just regular people making 50 grand, 70 grand, right? 80 grand, whatever,
right.
100 grand, right? That's most of the people just like this guy. And so the fact that don't conflate the fact that teams throw around these millions for players. That's a totally different budget than the operating budget for a team, including this guy as an accountant, which makes his ability to siphon off $20 million, even more staggering.
Right.
How can that happen? How can nobody know? Unbelievable.
That's terrible. And then real quick on the quarterbacks, and then I want to hear 2 minutes on where you're at, what you're doing, and we'll put a wrap on it today. So at this point, the quarterback carousel is down to what I like to call the town sluts at quarterback. These are formerly hot chicks who you knew in high school who have spent way too much time at way too many bars and have fucked way too many guys, and they're starting to look more and more haggard, but they'll pretty much fuck anybody. And so for $7 million, you can get Jameis Winston to back up Deshaun Watson. For about the same, you can get Marcus Mariota to go to Washington, even though you know he's a dirty town slut. Sam Darnold, same thing. Like, this is what we're talking about. And there's more out there, like Ryan Tannehill. Talk about an old cougar of a quarterback. Hey, honey, you want to take a ride on Ryan Tannehill? Tyler Huntley, Josh Dobbs, Mason Rudolph, woof.
Woof. I mean, all guys who have had their chances to show that they can be lead quarterbacks. They can be NFL starting quarterbacks, and they've all failed, and most of them have failed multiple times, and they've had multiple tries. And so, yes, they've been around the block. We know what they're all about. And anybody who thinks that they are a long-term solution is deluding themselves, including my Minnesota Vikings. Yeah.
Gardner Minshew signed with the Raiders, 2 years, $25 million. That's an actually pretty good deal for a guy that's not very good.
That is a good deal for him.
Jacoby Brissett going back to the Patriots, 1 year, $8 million. Tyrod Taylor, 2 years, to be determined, to the Jets. Sam Darnold to your Vikes. Drew Lock with the Giants, 1 year, $5 million.
Yeah. There was some, it turned out, you know, he was part of that Russell Wilson deal. And as it turned out, if they wouldn't have thrown in Drew Lock, he could have been the starter for the Broncos.
Funny how that is. All right. You're in Pueblo, Colorado, which used to ring in my brain as a place I knew as a kid where it's like, maybe you would get transcripts from Pueblo, Colorado, or you'd.
I know what you're thinking, Zabe.
What is it?
I know what you're thinking.
When
we were kids.
Yeah.
When we were kids growing up, there was like Zoom, an electric company on PBS. They would advertise you could send something to Pueblo, Colorado, and you know, zip code 90201 or whatever. And there was a thing you could get from Pueblo, Colorado that we used to see an ad.
Listeners, help us remember what made Pueblo, Colorado a thing when we were kids. It wasn't like
on Grand. TV.
It wasn't like Battle Creek, Michigan. You know what Battle Creek, Michigan was known for?
Kellogg's.
Where you would send your cutout box tops to redeem for batting helmets that would hold your cereal bowl.
Mm? Right.
Battle Creek, Michigan. Send X number of box tops from your Rice Krispies and wait 6 to 8 weeks. 6 to 8 weeks. No, 6 to 8 weeks. And we'll send you a plastic helmet. Pueblo, Colorado is famous for something. All right. So what park are you guys going to?
Well, this is really just a layover for us. Don't get too boring on this, but the first time you bring the camper out for the season, you have to de-winterize it. I got to bring all my stuff back into the camper. I got to flush the lines, all that stuff. And that's all we're doing in Pueblo. We're going south. We're heading, getting warmer. We're going to New Mexico. Then we're going to Arizona. Next time I talk to you, we'll be in Arizona. I'll talk to you from Northern Arizona after that. This is all just a pass.
All right. You gotta get the legs stretched and all the systems blown out. Say hi to Roxy for me. You're the best, Charge. I love you. Sorry about Sam Darnold, and we'll talk next week.
Bye-bye.
Records are short. No way. They're not that long. Okay, so that's our topic for today. So good day. Good day.
Hey, guys.
What? Hey, don't go. No, come back, eh? Look what you did. Everybody's going. You. Come back. I won't let him do it again. My fault. Yeah, your fault. You're such a hoser. There's no way I'll ever do another record with you, hoser. Okay, that's fine. I'll do a...
Okay. All right. Podcast over. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.